Across America. Live, this is Point of View. And now, Pitta Dexter.
Thank you very much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. On today's program, we're going to cover some of the things that have just been happening in the news. We've had a Thanksgiving weekend, and a lot has happened since last week when Kirby was with you live. One of the things, of course, is a request for a recount that's been launched by Jill Stein of the Green Party, but we really do think that the left is behind it. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, terror at Ohio State University. Very sad situation with a young Somali having injured 11 people and been killed himself, and we'll talk more about that. Also, the cabinet picks, there have been a couple of more and more being discussed, especially, and I guess most prominently, the Secretary of State post, where there's a little bit of battling about who that should be. And later in the program, Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch is going to join us. You have to remember that Judicial Watch was an organization that submitted freedom of information requests and has actually filed a lawsuit against the Clinton campaign, or actually the State Department, because of the way that Hillary Clinton handled her emails. There's a lot of investigating still going on out there, and Tom Fitton's going to join us to talk about that and also why he thinks Donald Trump should, or the Trump administration should, investigate Hillary Clinton, or perhaps what could happen apart from an official investigation. All of that, and then certainly we will also discuss the death of Fidel Castro. Many of you have been thinking about that. But first, I just want to remind you, or let you know, that today is kind of a special day. Actually, it's a special day for a lot of ministries, and very special here for us at Point of View. It's Tuesday, and it's called Giving Tuesday. If you get emails from us, you've been getting some about this, and you've probably been getting emails from and messages from other groups, too. But it's a day to signal that the season for giving, you know, the holiday season where we talk about giving to family and friends, well, that season has officially begun, and Giving Day is celebrated worldwide. It began in 2012, and it's really to encourage people to give a donation to something that matters, that will actually change the world, change the culture. And, you know, you can choose where you might want to do that giving, what organization you think is important for changing the culture. And it's been resulting in donations that foster greater social engagement across the world and also real change. And so I guess my encouragement to you today is, why not make Point of View the recipient of your giving today on Giving Day? If you're planning to give a gift on Giving Tuesday, why not give it to Point of View? I mean, make it one of your first gifts of the holiday season. I think that would say a lot. It would say a lot to us, since we're a listener-supported ministry. We have a very special reason and help for this today. We have a special matching grant that's been given. Someone who loves this ministry has offered this. It's $10,000, so it enables your gift, given up to midnight tonight, to be doubled. And that's up to $10,000. But certainly, if we go above that, we'd be grateful for anything. So right here at the top of the show, I just want to mention that it's something that we would encourage you to be part of, especially if you think this ministry has been helpful to you and helpful to the culture at large. If you benefit from Point of View, perhaps this is a day to give, if you've ever given before, if you never have. And you can do it by going to our website, pointofview.net. There's a button, a big sign for Giving Tuesday, showing that the matching gift is available. You can just hit the red banner. It says donate now. You could also call us and give by credit card, 800-347-5151. Or if you just like to send a check, you can do that to Point of View, P.O. Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221, and send a note. Include a little note in there to let us know that it's for Giving Day, so we can include that. And we won't know by midnight, of course, but still, it would be great to have you have your help on that. So that's Giving Tuesday. And, you know, I think one reason Point of View is so important at this juncture in history, I mean, when we are battling the left, and the left is in control, for instance, in Washington, D.C., they hold certain parts of the government, That is one, you know, urgent need, of course. But now it's such an interesting time because we actually have opportunities to do some positive things. We have the opportunity to, first of all, reverse some of the move to the left, some of the transformation that's been done by the left in the last 8 years in our government, in our laws, in executive orders and all of that. There's opportunity now out there, and I'm so encouraged. I was in Washington, D.C. about 10 days ago, and I heard a lot from different people who are actually involved in advising the Trump transition team and people who actually are possible cabinet picks or people who have been in the Reagan administration and are very encouraged to haven't seen anything like this. And so, you know, whatever you have felt or feel about the person who's the president-elect, Donald Trump, you need to feel good if you're a believer about the people that it looks like he's surrounding himself with, at least in the transition team, we know he is, and in many of the cabinet picks and more that are being talked about. So it's really a good opportunity. As a matter of fact, Tony Perkins of Family Research Council said that we have never, we conservative Christians, the leaders in the country, have never been called in or consulted like we are now. Because, you know, even under the Bush administration, which, you know, we all, many of us thought President Bush would do a lot of things that would help the social issues. And he did certainly protect the sanctity of human life and other things. But we weren't part of the conversation like we are now. Part of it could be because Donald Trump has got less experience in politics and he needs the help. And certainly the folks on the right, and especially the believers in Washington who understand the importance of many of these issues, economic issues, social issues, the sanctity of life, religious liberty. These are all, we have a great opportunity to advance our causes here. And so Point of View certainly is a great tool for that because we can inform people, we can help people understand how they can make a difference, how they can communicate with their members of the House and the Senate and all of that. So, you know, it's just, it's exciting to me. In fact, I'm very enthusiastic right now, and I want to kind of share that. I hope it overflows to you today as we proceed through the program and talk about different things that are happening. But we just really want to encourage you to be part of that. We're a team here, and we're kind of part of a worldwide Giving Tuesday movement today. So won't you be a part of that? And perhaps you could pick Point of View to be the recipient. We would be so grateful if you would. And just think about it throughout the day. Maybe encourage some of your friends, too. You can also pass on our website to others. It's pointofview.net. It might be a good time to introduce people to our program, too, and let them know that they can. It's really a good education for them, especially in these days where there's so much to be done. So we are very grateful for your listening today. And next up, we're going to talk about some of the picks that have taken place in the last few days. One yesterday being the Secretary of Health and Human Services. I think he's a positive, Tom Price. And maybe some of the damage that's been done through Obamacare rules can be undone pretty quickly with that pick. We'll talk about all of these right after this. Stay with us for more of Point of View.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
President Obama and his administration just set a new record. They have put more regulations into the Federal Register this year and shattered their old record for regulations set in 2010. It is worth mentioning that there are still nearly 2 months left on the president's term. He will no doubt be trying to build on this legacy before he leaves office in January. To put some of this in perspective, the Competitive Enterprise Institute found one day in which the administration put out 527 pages. Think of that. That is equal to the number of pages in the novel The Bourne Identity. And the 527 pages put out in one day are hardly as interesting, yet corporations and businesses have to read all of these regulations in case some of them apply to them. So far, the Obama administration has published 81,000 pages in 2016. Given that there's still more than 20 working days left in this year, it is likely that the Federal Register will have more than 90,000 pages of regulations put out by this administration. There is a cost, of course, to all these regulations. Basic items that you buy, food, household items, electronics, etc., all cost significantly more because of government decrees about product labeling, performance standards, and energy use. Now, no one disputes the need for some government regulations of goods and services, but these latest figures illustrate why we cannot grow our economy. These regulations are weighing down the American economy and place a heavier and heavier regulatory burden on business. Those especially hurt are small businesses because they cannot hire additional personnel to read, evaluate, and implement all the regulations the government spits out on a daily basis. The next president and Congress must address the regulatory burden strangling our economy. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Power of Three and Smith Global Media present Believe. One boy's decision to believe could change everything. Believe, rated PG, in theaters December 2nd. Believe.film.
You're listening to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Welcome back to Point of View. This out of the Wall Street Journal today, Washington, D.C., President-elect Donald Trump has chosen House Budget Committee Chairman Tom Price from Georgia as his nominee for Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, according to a transition team advisor. The paper says this puts the six-term congressman in charge of the sprawling agency that will likely dismantle Democrats' 2010 health care overhaul. Mr. Price, the journal says, a 62-year-old former orthopedic surgeon is one of several GOP physicians who sought to carve out a leading role in shaping the party's health policy, and in particular, the party's alternative vision to the Democrats' Affordable Care Act. And the Wall Street Journal goes on to say that much of Tom Price's criticism of Obamacare is centered on the authority it gives to the federal government and to the agency he may now head. And this is a point that we've made here at Point of View ever since Obamacare was passed. Throughout the legislation, it talks about the secretary, the power of the secretary to write rules. And when we look at some of the rules that came out, they were very disturbing. For instance, the contraceptive mandate, which required companies, even Christian-owned companies like Hobby Lobby, to provide contraception, even the kind that provides abortion. We know that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And that exemption to that was protected for these Christian companies. There's no exemption yet, though, for nonprofits like Little Sisters of the Poor. So those are just a couple of bad things that came out of Obamacare regulations. And this is a powerful position that Tom Price has been nominated for as Secretary of Health and Human Services. And, you know, I think it says a lot that he is chairman of the Budget Committee. He's a fiscal conservative. He's also pro-life. So you're going to see some fiscal conservatism. You're going to see things that protect the sanctity of human life coming out of HHS. It's a shame that so much of our government comes from rules that are written and not laws that are passed by Congress, but that's the way it is. We're going to have to reverse a lot of what has been done. But if there's anybody that's out there that's going to be good as a part of the rebuilding of the healthcare system with a more free market bent, it's Tom Price. So I'm pretty pleased to see this. I've seen him in action for a long time, and it's good to see this. We also have, you've probably seen in the news, a lot of bantied about who is going to be selected as Secretary of State, and the name Mitt Romney was thrown out as a serious person, a person who the party establishment definitely could accept, and someone that would be good in dealing with world leaders. Well, apparently, and I don't know if this is part of the theater of the Trump administration or if this is really some infighting that's going on between some of the people that have been on the campaign, like Kellyanne Conway. She's gone out on television and talked about how this would be a betrayal of the Trump supporters and that somebody else should be picked, perhaps someone like Rudy Giuliani, who was a loyal campaign person. I mean, Mitt Romney famously, I don't know who he voted for, but he certainly tried to provide an alternative to Trump, and he encouraged people not to vote for Donald Trump. And so now to make him Secretary of State, the person who actually has to get the trust of the president and represent him to world leaders, you know, it's a little dicey. I think Mitt Romney is an honest and patriotic man, so if he ends up being selected, then we'll pray for him. But maybe there's somebody better out there. Other names that have been floated is John Bolton, who's been on this program many, many times. Some people think he's much more hawkish, willing to use American power than Trump is. And so perhaps he would not be acceptable. But also Donald Trump has not been afraid to appoint people to various positions who don't exactly hold to his positions. So perhaps John Bolton would be good. I think a lot of conservative believers would be very happy. He's smart. He understands foreign policy, politics around the world. That's been his career. Another possibility out there was David Petraeus, who was, famously a wonderful commander in Iraq and that theater in the world, and also for a short time head of the CIA until he had a scandal having to do with a mistress and giving out too much information to her. She was also writing a book about him. And then there's Giuliani. And then some people have said Senator Bob Corker is in the running. He's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he will be helping to confirm this person. But some people have said that he's also in the running. He was instrumental in getting the Iran deal through, and so a lot of people are a little concerned about him. But again, another excellent choice, I think. Some people have criticized her. But last week it was announced that Betsy DeVos would be Trump's pick for the Secretary of Education. And Betsy DeVos is a billionaire philanthropist. Her husband is from the family, the DeVos family in Michigan, who started Amway. And so she's got that. And then her own family is the Prince family. Edgar Prince was her dad. Her mom is Elsa Prince, who is still alive and now married to a wonderful pastor. But that family is also a manufacturing family from Michigan, and they're billionaires, too. Her brother's Eric Prince, who you may have may remember from the Blackwater days in Iraq. He headed up a company called Blackwater that got some criticism, but they provided really contractors to help protect American diplomats in Iraq during the height of the war. Very patriotic family. She's worked as a party chairman in her part of the world, and she's also well-known in the education world. She's actually worked hard for choice, school choice in education. And that is something that a lot of people see as really one of the only answers to the troubles in our suffering schools in the inner cities and other parts of the country. And so she'll be pushing for that. Now, the criticism of her has been that she has supported Common Core, which is really a national type of education system that points toward changing the minds on certain issues. It's the same old government mandated curriculum that we have fought for decades and spoken about here at Point of View. The name of it right now is Common Core. And when that was first sort of launched, a lot of people that we respect supported it, and they've all backed off, including Betsy DeVos. She no longer supports Common Core, but the fact that she once did is being used as a criticism of her. So those are three major picks, cabinet picks. We heard that the economic side of the cabinet was going to be worked on this week, but I think they're wanting to get the foreign policy part of it done first. I know that Mitt Romney is having dinner with Donald Trump tonight. I read that. And there have been other meetings that have been taking place. But we do have a new announcement today, and that's Tom Price of Georgia. And he will be Secretary of Health and Human Services, if confirmed. He's a six-term member of Congress, and he's a staunch conservative. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we move toward the rest of the program, and we are going to be talking with someone, her name is Gail Trotter, about conservative women. I mean, I get to host today, and I'm definitely a conservative woman, and we're all pretty conservative here at Point of View. But we just want to talk about some issues that are important to women and to some of the leaders out there that are female. We're going to talk with Gail Trotter of the Claire Booth Luce Institute after this. But first, I just want to come back to this whole idea of Giving Tuesday. That's today. And it's a special day. It's a day where you can think about not only the fact that we're launching and moving into the season of giving, where we give to our families, we give to our friends, and we give those kinds of gifts, but it's also a time where we start thinking about the ministries and the causes that make a difference that we can give to. And so, you know, I just want to put Point of View out there as one of those. As a matter of fact, if you're a listener, it might be one of the very most important ones you could think about giving to. And we want to ask that you would perhaps do that. So it's a day today to make a donation to a ministry that you believe accomplishes a lot for the nation. And, you know, we had Black Friday and we've had Cyber Monday to get the sort of the gift-giving season launched. We want to launch it, though, in a very balanced way, a way in which you can give to somebody or something that will really make a difference. And we think that's Point of View. I want to mention, too, that we are a listener-supported ministry. It's the only way we're allowed to operate is through the gifts of our listeners and people who are just motivated to help us to continue to do the work that we do every day. If you are a listener, a gift today will help inform others and also get people active on the issues of faith, family, and freedom that concern you most. So it really makes a difference. And as I mentioned before, there is a matching grant on the table. Right now, somebody who really is loyal to Point of View and loves this ministry has offered $10,000. So anything you give by midnight tonight, up to $10,000, is actually going to be doubled. Bob Allen is going to tell you more about this. We hope you'll participate with us on Giving Tuesday. We'll be back after this.
The holidays are a time for giving, and I hope you've thought of many ways to honor Jesus' birthday this year. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day to invest in things that matter. Many retailers have two-for-one specials and buy one, get one, BOGO. We invite you to step up and do it. D-O-E-T. That means donate one equals two. You donate $1 to Point of View Radio, and through a special deal with one of our friends, your dollar becomes two, up to $10,000. Your $20 becomes 40. Your 50 becomes 100. Your 1,000 becomes 2,000. Just do it. Donate one, which equals two, before the clock strikes 12 tonight. Click the banner, please, at pointofview.net or call 800-347-5151 or mail your donation today to Point of View, Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Please do it now. Pointofview.net and 800-347-5151. Thank you. Point of View will continue after this.
You are listening to Point of View. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. And now, here again is Pina Dexter.
Welcome back to Point of View. Earlier this month, the Clare Booth Luce Policy Institute launched a calendar. It's their 2017 calendar. And it features great American conservative women. I think they've been doing this for a while. And one of them is my guest today. Her name is Gail Trotter. And she's a columnist. She's also a political analyst. And she's an attorney. She lives in Washington, D.C. She's got a podcast called Right in D.C. And she's a contributor to Town Hall, The Hill, and other media. You sometimes see her on radio, hear her on radio and see her on television talking about politics and legal issues. So this is going to be fun. Gail is also a senior fellow of the Independent Women's Forum, and she's vice president of the Kirkpatrick Society and also co-founder of Schaefer and Trotter PLC. She gave testimony before the U.S. Judiciary Committee in 2013 on gun violence in America. And Gail, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, great to be with you.
Did they let you know beforehand you're going to be part of this calendar?
Yes, they did. They asked me to participate, and I was so honored. The women who are in the calendar, I was familiar with the calendar before this year being asked to participate in it, and they are just a legendary role of women that I really admire who are really trying to make a difference in the political discussion and in their community. So it was a great honor to be chosen. And I am happy to share that I am the April calendar girl.
That's great. It's wonderful. And listen, who are some of your other co-recipients of this honor.
Right. Star Parker is an amazing speaker and advocate for women in the inner cities and communities in the inner cities. Babe Buchanan, who was the youngest person in the Reagan administration to serve, I think, in the Treasury as the U.S. Treasurer. Mm-hmm. Marsha Blackburn, who's an amazing congresswoman and a great advocate of personal rights in D.C., Capitol Hill, against the relentless assault by the federal government. And Katie Pavlich, who's a Fox News contributor and a friend of mine and a great author. I recommend all of her books. So it is a great honor to be included with this group of fabulous, accomplished women.
Well, Gail, I want to talk a little bit about the issues, because when I started working on this radio program about 20 years ago, I was hired to do women's issues. And we found out, like, the second day that all issues are women's issues. And that's really true, isn't it?
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better than myself. So I love that it's interesting that I think organizations want to hire someone who has an insight into the way women look at things or issues that are of particular concern to them. But certainly, as you've found and know very well, all issues are women's issues. And that's part of the challenge of the discussion, is making it clear that that is the case.
You know, sometimes we think of maybe the social issues being of more concern to women, but the economy is of great concern to women, isn't it?
It is. And I would say even things that traditionally have been seen as more masculine types of issues, like foreign policy, national security, certainly there are many women around the country who are very concerned about the persecution of minorities, especially religious minorities, across the world, and also concerned because of events like the Ohio State incident yesterday about national security.
Yeah, and, you know, what I mean, tell us about your hot buttons, because I know you're an expert on you know, firearms and the ability and the rights for us to be armed. And I think, I mean, that is a huge woman's issue, because it's the great equalizer for women, isn't it?
That's right. I could not have expressed that better myself. I have testified before Congress. I have gone on major television stations, networks. I was on Piers Morgan talking about how guns make women safer. And for me, it's not just a firearms issue. It's really a liberty issue. And that right contains so many of our other rights. That's the right that undergirds our First Amendment right, free exercise of religion, the freedom of the press. And it really defines the relationship of the individual in respect of the federal government. So you have state laws that are being protected for people to be able to choose the right to defend themselves. And I've spent a lot of time talking about how in the United States, over 90% of violent crime occurs without a firearm. So in those situations, a woman is at a disadvantage unless she's able to have a firearm, and then she can reverse the balance of power and have a fighting chance against a violent assailant.
Since you brought up what happened at Ohio State, and it's really tragic, it was interesting, though, to see certain people, and one notably was the vice presidential candidate, Tim Kaine, to attributing that to gun violence right off the bat, when it turns out there was no gun inside. It was until one actually killed the perpetrator, but it was a knife act, a car and then a knife and all these victims. But it's interesting how the left always goes to guns, don't they?
They do, and it's an embarrassing reflection of their ideology and their worldview. They, like you're saying, the Senator Tim Kaine was out there talking about it, and many of the talking heads instantly jumped to that conclusion, and then they were getting probably all their segments about gun violence ready for the evening news, and then the news changed. And now they don't want to talk about the true threat that created the situation at Ohio State, because that's not part of their ideology. It's not part of their worldview. And we're going to see, I believe, that this news item is going to recede into the ether, because the news organizations, the mainstream ones at least, are not going to want to cover it with the same amount of intensity that they would have if guns had been used to perpetrate the crimes.
Gail, you know, we're talking about women's issues, and as we've said, it's really all issues are women's issues. And this issue of the terrorist threat that comes from, you know, the Islamic sort of ideology that's motivating these people, And now we see that this one perpetrator yesterday was a Somali refugee, apparently here legally now, but he came as a refugee. So we have that debate going on, too. And, I mean, talk about an issue that women and men are concerned about. This is one of them, isn't it?
It truly is. And when you think about the violation of rights that we see in countries in the Middle East right now and in North Africa, women especially have to understand that that type of ideology should not be brought to the United States, that there are some things that are beyond the pale of being able to be naturally coexist in a democratic, free society. And I think in part that's why Donald Trump was so successful at winning this election, because he understood the concern of so many Americans that they see the conflagration going on in the Middle East and they don't want that brought home to our shores. Now, America is one of the most welcoming and strong nations because of our commitment to immigration and to offering people a safe haven and opportunity to improve the situation for their families. But we have to be smart about it. We don't just have to blindly accept anyone who wants to come into our country. We have to look at people who are willing to adopt our values and be able to live peacefully in our society.
Do you think that over time, I mean, we've just had this campaign where I thought that there, part of it was a referendum on the sort of political correctness that's been become dangerous for us. Do you think that we've got some momentum now to sort of debunking that as sort of a weapon that people use against each other?
Definitely, but I think you're going to continue to see the left and people who support the political establishment as it is doubling down on the attacks against people who supported Donald Trump and supported his message, because they see themselves as losing power and losing influence. So I think you see that with the recount effort by Green candidate Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton's campaign going along with this. It is an effort to delegitimize Donald Trump's victory, and that's something that they are going to be working at very hard, not just in the next few months, but over the length of his administration.
Gail Trotter is my guest, and the reason we have Gail on today is to talk about all these issues, but also sort of what prompted it is the fact that she was chosen to be part of this calendar that the Claire Booth Luce Institute puts out. And it honors women who have done something in the policy arena. And we are so grateful for these people. I mean, you see a wonderful young woman speaking out all over the airwaves and making a lot of common sense on some of the issues we care about. So it was just mentioned that there's a recount, and we're going to continue to discuss that issue. And also, I want to ask Gail about some of these picks that Donald Trump has already either signaled or made officially to his cabinet, and what she thinks about some of them. We'll get some of that information. Also, let's open up the phones, 800-351-1212. We really have sort of a across-the-board subject matter today here on Point of View. So you can talk about the transition. You can talk about Castro's death, which we haven't really brought up yet. And you can also talk about what happened at Ohio State and the recount. Any of that and all of that is on the table. My guest again is Gail Trotter, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to the First Liberty Briefing. I'm Jeremy Dice. Elaine Spaziano organized Christmas on the Canal for 17 years. It became a tradition for most of the residents of Spencerport, New York. But like every good Christmas story, there was a Grinch. An atheist complained to city officials about the annual celebration because it included carols, tree lighting, a nativity scene, and other festivities. In response, the town told Elaine to remove religious references and to secularize the event by changing Christmas to holiday and getting rid of such displays as the nativity scene. Elaine refused, and the town pulled its sponsorship, seemingly ending the annual tradition. But not unlike the Who's Down in Whoville, the community rose up in support of the event and provided the necessary funding to continue the annual celebration. Christmas on the Canal continues to this day, though I don't know if the town sponsors it. Cities across the country need to understand that the law allows your town to sponsor such displays so long as the displays contain the right mixture of the sacred and the secular. Or, as the Supreme Court has said, city-sponsored Christmas displays are permissible under the Constitution so long as there is no endorsement of religious faith and the display is, as the court noted, simply a recognition of cultural diversity. So, this Christmas, don't let your town be a Scrooge. It's okay to celebrate Christmas on the town square. To learn how First Liberty is protecting religious liberty for all Americans, visit firstliberty.org.
Now, back to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Welcome back to Point of View. I'm Penna Dexter, and my guest, Gail Trotter, has been honored for her work on policy by the Claire Booth Luce Policy Institute. She's part of one of their calendars that they put out, and, you know, it's good to honor people, I think, for the work they do. It sounds like you probably have a lot on your plate, Gail, but one of the things is being senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum, which is a great organization that I've followed from really its inception. What issues are you all working on there right now?
Well, right now we're really focused on the healthcare issues, and we have the new news out that Tom Price is going to be heading HHS. And as you know, he was an opponent of coming up with free market plans to empower patients and doctors and communities rather than have the federal government have a one-size-fits-all healthcare plan from Washington, D.C.
So he was a proponent of the free market type of plan. Okay. So we'll see
absolutely.
That from him.
I think we will. And so IWF is really focused on making sure that, like you said, that people understand that all women's are all issues are women's issues, and looking at free market-based solutions to things that do not require one-size-fits-all solutions from Washington, D.C., but supporting the Constitution, supporting individual rights to determine how we want to live our lives. And the healthcare issue is a big issue for us.
Well, it is. And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before you came on. And in Obamacare, there was all this leeway for the Secretary of Health and Human Services to write regulations. And boy, did they. And a lot of them, of course, were the subject of big battles, including the contraceptive mandate, which went all the way to the Supreme Court in the Hobby Lobby case. So that it's good to be able to ask you this because, you know, it was about a war on women. The Democrats and the left tried to make it about that, the fact that you wouldn't force companies to provide a contraceptive that perhaps included an abortifacient in it or worked that way. So they made it sound like, you know, all women want this, need this, and, you know, are for this and are going to vote for this. But that's not true, is it?
No, it's not. And it shows, like, even hold the contraceptive issue apart for a moment. You can agree with it or not agree with it on a personal level. But it just shows the problem that we have with what is called the administrative state right now. So you have this massive legislation that was passed by the Congress using some kind of backroom deals and tricks, and not a single Republican congressman or senator signed on to it. And then from that, the power was given to the agency to make regulations that contradicted our First Amendment free exercise of religion. And the only way to check that was to require federal litigation to take it up to the Supreme Court. So you create all this cost and expense and, you know, worry and anxiety on people, including the Little Sisters of the Poor. Remember, the Obama administration sued the Little Sisters of the Poor. So when you think about that, it really drives home that this administrative state is the problem, and it doesn't even matter what the issue is so much. That's just a pretty egregious example of it. But it happens all the time, and people do not have an effective way to fight back against it.
Do you think now that there's going to be a Trump administration, and he has promised to reverse a lot of sort of regulation, executive orders, things like that, that did not come out of Congress? He's also talked a lot about Obamacare. Congress will have to do its work. So I'll ask you about your thoughts on that. But first, do you think that we will see some of these fights that we're having over Obamacare – becoming moot because of a Trump administration coming in and just doing some work on the regulatory level?
Certainly, a lot of what President Obama and his administration put in place was through pen and phone. He was very proud of that, and he bragged about that. So many of the things that were changed under the Obama administration can be reversed, if not on day one, certainly within the first 100 days. Some other things that are going to be changed will take more time because of the rules on requiring public notice and hearing, so that will take a little bit more time. But I think the spirit is willing, and the question is whether people in the Congress, that they can be the flesh that is willing to support the, it's going to be a struggle, it's going to be a battle, and I think we'll continue to see efforts by those who oppose these changes to delegitimize the process and to make everything a fight. So I don't think that there's going to be a lack of fighting, but it will really depend on whether or not the Congress is behind the Trump administration's plans to change the things that the American people said are wrong and why they supported him.
What would you like to see specifically? I know you guys at Independent Women's Forum have been working on sort of blueprints and plans, as of other groups, and even in the House Republican caucus, they've been making plans. Are there a couple specifics you'd like to see Congress do in a healthcare system? I mean, would you first like to see it completely repealed, or just think we can fix Obamacare?
Right. Well, I think if just tactically, you can't say you're fixing Obamacare, because if you say you're fixing Obamacare, then you've lost the rhetorical battle, right? So you want to focus on repealing Obamacare, because I think 43% of Americans are deeply unhappy with Obamacare right now, and so many Americans want to see it repealed and replaced. So you start off with the repeal of Obamacare, and then the things that the free market people and the Republicans have thought for a long time that would help our healthcare system, those should be implemented. So the idea to be able to sell insurance across state lines, that was something that was not previously offered, but the ability to have more companies come in and offer more options and not put everybody in the same box and not have young people paying in a way that does not reflect their lower risk for needing hospitalization, more of the kind of catastrophic care, so that if something really terrible happens to them, that they would be able to make sure they had proper health care, but they're not going to need much health care when they're young, the typical young person. And on top of that, you want to have transparency. I don't know about you, but whenever I get medical bills, you get 15 different medical bills, mm-hmm. and they're hard to understand. If there's a way to make the market more transparent and to offer patients for non-emergency type treatment the ability to compare prices, to shop around, that would be a positive step as well.
It sure would. Listen, Gail, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and congratulations on being honored for the work you do.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got some calls, and I'll get to them after the break. Sorry that I didn't, but it was just fun talking to Gail. I do want to mention to you and kind of remind you of the special day that is today. It's Giving Tuesday, and it's really a day to make a donation to a ministry that you believe accomplishes a lot for the nation and for the culture. And we're here for 2 hours every day, Monday through Friday, and sometimes you'll hear even our broadcasts played on the weekends. So we're informing you of issues and possibilities and cultural trends and how to look at things from a biblical and Christian lens and worldview, and so much more. And so that's why we're here. And if you'd like to help us, and since it's Giving Day, a lot of you are going to want to make a gift to a ministry, why not pick us, Point of View? Go to pointofview.net, and there's a big button that's prominent, and you can see it, to go ahead and make that donation to us. We have a matching grant on the table of $10,000 if the gifts are received by midnight tonight. So we ask that you would help us. You could also call us at 800-347-5151, give a gift by credit card, or mail a check to Point of View, P.O. Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. What a great way to begin the gift-giving generosity season with some gift-giving and generosity to your favorite ministry, Point of View. Next up, Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch will join us to talk about the Trump's words about not going after Hillary Clinton for some of her misdeeds. We'll talk about that after this.
The holidays are a time for giving, and I hope you've thought of many ways to honor Jesus' birthday this year. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day to invest in things that matter. Many retailers have two-for-one specials and buy-one-get-one, BOGO. We invite you to step up and do it. D-O-E-T. That means donate one equals two. You donate $1 to Point of View Radio, and through a special deal with one of our friends, your dollar becomes two, up to $10,000. Your $20 becomes 40. Your 50 becomes 100. Your 1,000 becomes 2,000. Just do it. Donate one, which equals two, before the clock strikes 12 tonight. Click the banner, please, at pointofview.net or call 800-347-5151 or mail your donation today to Point of View, Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Please do it now. Pointofview.net and 800-347-5151. Thank you. Point of View will continue after this.
Across America, live, this is Point of View. And now, Tina Dexter.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Point of View. We are so glad you're with us today. If you're waiting on the line, you'll have to wait a little bit longer because I want to get our next guest in. He doesn't have a whole lot of time. And he's one that I really enjoy talking with. He's in the battle. And that's what we've been talking about today. Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch. And this is a public interest group that investigates and prosecutes government corruption. They've been around a long time, ever since really I've been here at Point of View. We have been interviewing folks from Judicial Watch, particularly Tom Fitton. And this group seeks to ensure government and judicial officials act ethically and do not abuse the powers entrusted to them by the American public. And they've been on the Hillary Clinton email scandal. Tom, you really have been on it, and we thank you for that. And now, it sounds like today, you've got a development in that.
Yeah, well, the scandal isn't over. Thank you for that, Penna, and happy Thanksgiving. We were just in court this morning. You may recall just before the election, the FBI found new Yuma Abedin emails on Anthony Weiner's computer, or so it's been reported, and they had to evaluate those. Caused a lot of controversy, but you know, we've been asking for those records, and now the FBI is going to turn them over to the State Department. We don't know when, but that was officially announced today in court by the State Department. So this is scandal isn't over. Obviously, Hillary Clinton hasn't left the stage yet, nor will these lawsuits that are trying to get access to the information she tried to hide from the American people through her secret email arrangement.
Well, Tom, we've heard the announcement that Trump is not pursuing charges against Hillary Clinton. And we don't know, like, in a sense, I always don't know what the things he says really mean or whether, you know, they portend the future. So, you know, I don't know what will happen and what the new attorney general will do. He may go ahead with those types of charges, but what's your take on that?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what he's talking about. He's suggesting he doesn't want to, and, you know, you could read all sorts of things into that. What has to be done is the rule of law has to prevail. And the investigation into the Clinton Foundation, we understand, has been suppressed by the Justice Department. The FBI has been able to get subpoenas or witnesses to come in and sort of authorization to do a normal investigation they otherwise would get. And certainly the investigation into the national security aspects of her email were mishandled by the FBI director, the FBI leadership, and the Department of Justice leadership. So if I were Donald Trump, I'd say, look, I'm not going to get involved directly in any investigation. Our Justice Department and FBI, they're going to do the job, and they're going to do it well. Politics won't intrude. We may get even a special prosecutor to look at this to assure the American people that even Hillary Clinton isn't above the law.
There are 30 emails that have been that have really remained unavailable, and you know, they've been withheld for certain reasons. Do you think those reasons, including the idea of government misconduct, are valid reasons for you to be able to get those?
Yeah, that's just a fraction of the emails that have been withheld from us, but it's the fight we're now in over over with the State Department and Justice Department and federal court. And, you know, they're trying to say, well, you know, these are internal deliberations. You can't fight your, you can't get our internal deliberations. And typically that holds sway, but it isn't when these internal deliberations are about how to cover up something that went wrong with the Clinton email scandal and government misconduct related to that. So we're asking the court to find government misconduct officially with respect to the Clinton email scandal so we can get access to the documents about its cover-up.
So that's what the case is about that was heard today?
No, we
was that
have
a different
so
one?
Many cases.
Yeah, I know you do.
I have.
I can't keep track of it.
This case was about getting access to all of Hillary Clinton's emails.
Okay.
We have cases about all of Ms. Abedin's emails and then cases about Benghazi and what Abedin was up to at the State Department and other things. So there are a bunch of cases that, as you might imagine, Mrs. Clinton was head of the agency. Can you think of all the FOIA requests about government operations at the agency that are impacted by that? It's legion, and we just have, you know, so we have nearly 20 lawsuits that are touched by it.
Wow. I noticed a quote from you where you said that if the Trump administration abandons the Clinton case, it would be, and I'm quoting you, a betrayal of his promise to the American people. Explain that.
Well, he repeatedly talked about how he wanted to appoint a special prosecutor. He talked about crooked Hillary in a less, in a more direct way. And, you know, he threatened to put her in jail. And, you know, it was pretty clear that he said he was going to drain the swamp in Washington. And if he decides to let Hillary Clinton off the hook, because, you know, the typical politics in Washington is to let bygones be bygones. It's all just politics when you're in a campaign, and there's nothing serious, no matter what the accusations are with regard to wrongdoing. Then I think that would be the typical way of working, and that's not what Trump promised.
No, it's not what he promised. You know, you've heard the statements like, I don't want to hurt the Clintons, I really don't. You've heard about healing coming out, coming from some of his advisors. He says it's just not something that I feel very strongly about. That one's hard to believe because it seemed like he felt very strongly about it. And so, moving forward, Tom, just talk about what you think we can expect just based on what you guys are doing. What do you think we can expect early on?
Well, we're still good. We're still getting Clinton emails. We're still getting emails from the case that showed the pace for play at the State Department and the Clinton Foundation. So these emails are going to be coming out. We're going to be fighting over the emails that have been withheld, as we point out. What did President Obama email Hillary Clinton? That's going to be part of the litigation. And I just point out, this is not just about Hillary Clinton. This is an Obama scandal. It's an FBI scandal. It's a State Department scandal. It's a Justice Department scandal. You name it. And this is why it's important the investigations will continue the investigation. But I think the president, the incoming president, has an obligation to clean house. And if it were just about Hillary, he might have a point. I mean, we can't have the whole country revolve around the prosecution of one person. But this is about the way government operates at the most fundamental level, and whether the people who run government think they can get away with it, whatever they want, as long as there's a politically convenient reason for letting them do so.
Tom, see if you agree with me on this. I feel that, you know, Trump is somewhat of a blank slate. He's not really politically experienced. And the success of his presidency is going to be because of the people that he surrounds himself with. A lot of us are very encouraged by a lot of those people that are coming into the administration. But, you know, Americans, it's sort of all hands on deck right now. Your work is very important. And, you know, we have to stay sort of influential in this. Let them know that we elected him because of the drain the swamp promise, and that sort of is a broad brush statement that encompasses a lot, including getting rid of some of this scandal.
You know, I'm not sure what your feedback you're getting from your listeners, but my perception is the media interest in Mrs. Clinton's emails and those scandals is going to be lessened. But I don't think the public interest has been lessened at all. In fact, it's been kind of reinvigorated because they see the prospect of justice finally.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a tactical and political mistake for Mr. Trump to presume that the siren songs I'm sure he's hearing from the establishment to move on actually represent the will of the people. There's a strong public interest here,
yeah,
and it's a wide array of popularity if he pursued it.
Tom Fitton, thank you for the work you do at Judicial Watch and for joining me today.
Thank you, Pat.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
President Obama and his administration just set a new record. They have put more regulations into the Federal Register this year and shattered their old record for regulations set in 2010. It is worth mentioning that there are still nearly 2 months left on the president's term. He will no doubt be trying to build on this legacy before he leaves office in January. To put some of this in perspective, the Competitive Enterprise Institute found one day in which the administration put out 527 pages. Think of that. That is equal to the number of pages in the novel The Bourne Identity. And the 527 pages put out in one day are hardly as interesting, yet corporations and businesses have to read all of these regulations in case some of them apply to them. So far, the Obama administration has published 81,000 pages in 2016. Given that there's still more than 20 working days left in this year, it is likely that the Federal Register will have more than 90,000 pages of regulations put out by this administration. There is a cost, of course, to all these regulations. Basic items that you buy, food, household items, electronics, etc., all cost significantly more because of government decrees about product labeling, performance standards, and energy use. Now, no one disputes the need for some government regulations of goods and services, but these latest figures illustrate why we cannot grow our economy. These regulations are weighing down the American economy and place a heavier and heavier regulatory burden on business. Those especially hurt are small businesses because they cannot hire additional personnel to read, evaluate, and implement all the regulations the government spits out on a daily basis. The next president and Congress must address the regulatory burden strangling our economy. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Power of Three and Smith Global Media present Believe. One boy's decision to believe could change everything. Believe, rated PG, in theaters December 2nd. Believe.film.
You're listening to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
That was fun to talk with Tom Fitton. He's working hard at Judicial Watch. They're constantly trying to uncover what our elected officials are doing, and to work on these issues, it takes a lot of energy and courage. I put two articles about these efforts up at pointofview.net. One of them is from WorldNet Daily. Court asked to rule Clinton emails involved misconduct, and he spoke during the interview about that. They have said that we are not or should not be privy to some of the emails that are sort of internal to the State Department because it's their internal business. But when there's misconduct of the State Department that's been alleged, that's a different story, and that's what the case that Judicial Watch is trying to make. And then there's another piece up there. It's out of the New York Post, Why Trump Isn't Pursuing Charges Against Hillary Clinton. And, you know, that's sort of, we don't really know the answer to that, and perhaps there will be a lot more done than we think by the Justice Department. That's really the way to go, says Tom Fitton. So that was fun. I'm grateful to him for joining us today. We've got some calls. Let's go to the phones. Andrea is in North Carolina. Hi, Andrea. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I got a call from American Center of Law and Justice. A couple of days ago, I got a very serious call, and they want me to support them. And we talked at length about the investigation of the FBI director and the lawsuits there about the very subject that you're talking about. And all I could do was ask the questions, what cases are you looking at? What results have you had? Because I don't know very much about the American Center for Law and Justice. I just wanted to hear your comments.
I don't know what cases they are looking at.
Me neither.
Jay Sekulow's group, and
yes,
I'm not sure.
Yes. Me neither, but it's okay. I just want to hear, because we are talking about a legitimate situation with the investigation of the FBI director, correct?
I don't know if he's being investigated. And, of course, they still have some investigative work going on. Is that what you mean?
Well, the gentleman there is talking about...
Comey's not being investigated.
Okay.
He's the FBI director.
This is why I asked the questions when I was talking to them. It's all they trying to connect it all to Hillary and the classified emails and all of that, but there's a lot of investigation about a lot of things.
Yeah, there are. One of the things that Tom Fitton mentioned is the whole Clinton Foundation investigation and all the synergy that went on during her tenure at the State Department. That investigation is still going on. So that's one, when you hear Trump saying he's not going to investigate Hillary, he didn't say anything about the Clinton Foundation. So that could be
But Jay Sekulow, talk to me about the American Center for Law and Justice and what point of view what is the attitude about the American Center
We've had Jay Sekulow has been a guest on Point of View many times over the years, and we always try to highlight their work and, you know, the cases that they're working on. A lot of times when I hear about that group, I hear them, you know, doing a lot of different things beyond just the casework. And I haven't really had the energy to follow all of that because, you know, there's just so many people to talk to here on this program and to interview. So I know they have their own radio show, too.
Would you put them alongside of the Liberty Institute and Kelly Shackelford? Would you put them alongside that?
No, I wouldn't put anybody up there with Kelly. I just wouldn't. I think a Liberty Institute and Kelly Shackelford, they do such awesome work, and they have this team of attorneys. They have a model where they get the top attorney in the area where the case is. So they win like 90-some percent, almost 100% of their cases. I just can't really put anybody above them. I mean, I may be, because I know Kelly and he co-hosts this show, I mean, some people may think I'm prejudiced, but I really know a lot about this organization, and I put them, you know, way up there. But that's not to say that ACLJ isn't doing good work. They are probably one of the early ones. Yeah.
And they are, I guess I'd say conservative, right? They're very conservative.
Yeah.
And they're,
oh, yeah.
And they're handling issues of religious freedom. Would you say so? Yes?
I don't know all their caseload right now. I think that certainly that's been probably their top issue, too.
You feel good about them anyway.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to lend an endorsement to anyone right now that I don't know enough about. The ones I know about, I can do that, but I don't know enough about it right now. I have in the past, but right now, I haven't, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a crazy time.
Chalk that up to being way too busy. Thank you so much for your call, Anne. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Let's go to Nancy in Texas. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for calling in.
Right. I'm glad to be on. I'm concerned about the Department of Justice, just listening to your program. It would be interesting to see what the Department of Justice does. I have a sister-in-law who is involved. She is a lawyer from upstate New York who came down to St. Mary's in San Antonio and got her law degree, and she is a very well-spoken Italian who speaks Spanish very, very well here. And she was appointed to our state court by George Bush when he was governor twice. And she is now a federal judge here. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Her name is Kathy Cardone.
Okay.
And she's very, very good. And she's on the ball and sharp. And so it'll be interesting to see who some of the people are that are chosen based on the list that are given and suggested to President-elect Trump. And so I am
great
so
opportunity,
glad.
Great opportunity, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It really is, because this is a predominantly heavy-duty Democratic county, and I didn't dare put anything on my car or even open my mouth when people were talking, and I just go the other way. So it was such a refreshing thing to actually see that with, I helped out a lot with doing the Cry Out 16 in September and getting that out to the churches around here to get the women's ministries going. And
to get them involved in the election?
To pray for our country for the future at that point in September, because who knew which way it was going to go. And, you know, it was day by day, hour by hour. And I've told several friends, folks, we need to be praying day by day for the next 4 years to
Absolutely.
Make sure this goes well for everyone concerned. So that's really pretty much all I have to say, but I am...
So you're sort of picking up on my interview of Gail Trotter and just the idea.
Exactly,
of, yeah.
Exactly. It was really neat to hear that because I had gone to my sister and brother, my sister-in-law and brother's house for Thanksgiving, and it was like, okay, do I even mention this? Okay, I'll just pray. You know,
you have to pick your battles, don't you?
Oh, well, that's it. And
depending on the people
that's
you're with.
The best thing. Well, see, that's it. And like I say, she's a very nice. Oh, and she's a great cook too, by the way. So that's something good to be said for. I think didn't they put out a cookbook for the husband of the Supreme Court Justice? That's what is she about 82?
You mean Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Sounds good.
Yeah, I think that was on 60 Minutes or one of the shows or on Sunday morning.
Well, we all need to make sure that our families are well fed. So cookbooks are always fun.
She's definitely a good cook. Thank you so much.
Thank you for weighing in today, Nancy. We appreciate it.
And I made my donation online while I was waiting.
Well, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate that. And that's just what I want to talk about here at the end of this segment, ladies and gentlemen, today.
All right.
Thank you, Nancy. Today, of course, is a very special day. It's called Giving Tuesday. Set aside to launch a season of giving and of generosity. And it's a day to think of your giving in terms of giving to something world-shaping and culture-shaping. What better object of your giving today, really, than Point of View because of the impact that we have? So just for Giving Tuesday and as an incentive, a special matching grant of $10,000 has been provided to Point of View. And so we will receive this $10,000 to help with our expenses, really the ongoing expenses of running the ministry. We'll get that if you give. So if you give a gift, as Nancy just did, and that will be doubled up to $10,000 if you give it by midnight tonight. Today's the day. It's Giving Tuesday. So it's a very special day and a good opportunity. And we're here every day, we at Point of View, helping you to understand what's really behind and how to deal with the current events and also the cultural trends with a biblical worldview and from a biblical worldview. That's what we're here to do. We have time with a two-hour show every weekday to discuss these things and to get your input on that. And we also expose the freedom-destroying plans of the left. We have this unique opportunity right now in history to reverse and block some of this, some of what has sort of been beginning to transform our country in a bad direction. So help us be a part of moving us back and moving us forward. And you can do that by participating in Giving Tuesday. Go to pointofview.net. You can also listen to Bob Allen. He's got a lot more on this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The holidays are a time for giving, and I hope you thought of many ways to honor Jesus' birthday this year. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day to invest in things that matter. Many retailers have two-for-one specials and buy one, get one, BOGO. We invite you to step up and do it. D-O-E-T. That means donate one equals two. You donate $1 to Point of View Radio, and through a special deal with one of our friends, your dollar becomes two, up to $10,000. Your $20 becomes $40. Your $50 becomes $100. Your $1,000 becomes $2,000. Just do it. Donate one, which equals two, before the clock strikes 12 tonight. Click the banner, please, at pointofview.net or call 800-347-5151 or mail your donation today to Point of View, Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Please do it now. Pointofview.net and 800-347-5151. Thank you. Point of View will continue after this.
You are listening to Point of View. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station.
And now, here again is Pina Dexter.
This final 30 minutes of Point of View today is for you. Call in 800-351-1212 if you'd like to participate in the conversation. We've had several topics today. One of them is the shooting that happened at, not the shooting, that was the media, the actual knife attack that happened at Ohio State, and it looks like about 11 people have been injured. And this slasher, he was in a crowd. I think he drove into the crowd of people. They were outside a building at Ohio State because of a gas leak. And he began using, his name is Abdul Artran. He was an observant Muslim, Somali refugee, came in 2014. He spoke out about the lack of prayer rooms on campus at Ohio State. And he perpetrated this. I don't know if anyone else was involved. They're going to be investigating this. But he is a Muslim, and he is a Somali refugee, about between 18 and 20 years old. Again, he came in 2014. The car that he was driving was registered to someone named Muhammad Ali. So that's the story. And if you want to weigh in on that, you can. 800-351-1212. Also, Gail Trotter mentioned the recount, and that's another subject of conversation, if you'd like to call in. Green Party Jill Stein has demanded a recount, first in Wisconsin and also in Pennsylvania and Michigan now. So the way it works is every county, for instance, in Wisconsin, every county has to convene a board of canvassers to recount the votes. Stein has raised nearly $6 million for this effort, for this recount effort. She has no chance of winning. So obviously, it's either a fundraising ploy for the Green Party and for the left, or the Democrats are in on it. I mean, Hillary has said she would cooperate with this, or just to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the election. It may be a little bit of all of the above, the reason for them doing this. It certainly has been a goal of the progressive left to nationalize election laws. And, you know, they're trying to go after the Electoral College again now. They do this every time there's a difference between the popular vote and the electoral vote. But there are really good reasons for it. I think that this Jill Stein is being used as a battering ram by the left, and the Clinton campaign is just joining the effort. The left is really doing everything that it projected onto Clinton. After Trump, when Trump answered that he would not necessarily accept the results of the election, they're doing that in their way. And so it's very interesting. Trump said he would not guarantee he'd immediately accept that. And it's because of voting irregularities that could pop up. Hillary refused to concede, though, the evening of the election. So there's number one. And then all the protests that are out there. And now this coordinated effort to intimidate the Electoral College and these recounts. So it's just something to, I mean, we have to watch it because it's in the news and take it seriously. We are taking your calls, 800-351-1212. I want to put one more issue on the table, and all I'll do right now is to say that along with the other articles we posted at pointofview.net is a very good article called The Last Communist City. It's so insightful about Havana, about the Castro regime, and I recommend it to you. It's long. So I would say print it out and read it tonight or read it over the weekend, because this is going to be in the news now and what's going to be our policy with regard to Cuba. I have a personal interest in it because my oldest son's wife actually migrated here with her family when she was in high school from Castro's Cuba, and I've had so many conversations with them about what life is like there and, you know, how you can get along and the lack of freedom. And so, you know, now the death of Castro doesn't mean that all of a sudden there's going to be freedom in Cuba, but it does cause the United States to rethink its opening up to Cuba. The brother of Fidel Castro is now in charge, has been for years, and nothing's really changed with regard to freedom. So we will continue that conversation. If you'd like to talk about Cuba, you're certainly welcome. All of these issues on the table. Again, we're taking your calls, 800-351-1212. Let's talk to Larry, who's been waiting in Georgia. Larry, thanks for calling.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking the call. And there's a lot I would love to say, but I know you don't have time. I don't. But
pick your most pressing concern.
that's what I'm going to do. Is when I listen to Obama talking about Castro, it always has occurred to me that the media is telling us something that's not even close to being true. There are the propaganda that's being put out in our newscasters is absolutely it's absurd what we're listening to, and it bothers me that we are the ones that support that. As been, you know, in the economy, it's just a matter of supply and demand. And why do we not boycott this nonsense and do not support these news commentators and these news stations that simply do whatever they can to disrupt anything that made this country great to begin with?
Yeah, and, you know, we have so many alternatives today that people could go to for their news. That, I mean, it's a good time to do exactly what you said, Larry, and kind of vote with your feet.
Yeah, yeah, it's and I do. I do not turn on the CNN, NBC, ABC. I do not listen to them. I do not support them in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because they do not support me. That's my thing.
Yeah. Where do you go for your news?
I go to you and to this station and that I listen to, 24/7. If I'm in my vehicle, this station is on.
And that station is WAGP?
Yes, it is.
What part of Georgia are you in?
I'm in Springfield, just not too far from Savannah, also not too far from Hilton Head.
And, does your station have a pretty big reach around there?
It does. It does very well. And it's a 24-hour Christian station, and it has some remarkable people. I mean, we can listen to all sorts of very good commentators, very intelligent, very well read, very instructional. And it's just amazing to me that you talk to people and they say, well, I don't know where that station's at. And it's, where's your headband? I mean, you know, it's there. Get it.
Well, spread the word, Larry. You're doing a good work by doing that. Thank you so much for listening and for calling in today.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, he makes a good case for the reason that you need to help Point of View to continue to do what we do, because it's just that many of the mainstream media outlets that we traditionally relied upon are becoming less and less reliable with regard to their bias, and even sometimes the reporting is not even true. And I mean, it's just so interesting after this Ohio shooting that there all the comments that the media irresponsibly allowed over the airwaves had to do with it being a gun-related crime, which it wasn't. And then they had to backtrack very quickly, of course. That's just one example. There are so many. So thank you so much, Larry, for that call. Let's go now to Raymond in California, listening in on KYCC. Thanks for calling in, Raymond.
Thank you, and I'm glad to take just a moment of your time. When I was on active duty in the Army, I worked as a journalist, and I was stationed in Berlin, West Berlin, Germany, which was kind of a hotbed for a Cold War situation.
Wow.
But I got to serve for 3 years there, and I got I learned in the military that a journalist is a purveyor of truth. A journalist is a historian. And I can't help but wonder, the media today has really damaged themselves, their reputation, their credibility. I don't think there's any coming back from that. And I'll take your comments off the air, but I just wonder if, you know, what you have to say about the damage that the media has done to their own credibility.
I think your observation is spot on. And, you know, I've even noticed I'm more of a print media person. I read newspapers and read articles, and I try to find things online. I also read the Wall Street Journal every day. I read, actually, the Washington Post every day. I like to see what the left is saying, too. And I've really noticed that you will look at a news article on the front page or in the front section, and you'll think you're reading an editorial. So often, the reporters now, they blur the lines between reporting the news and being exactly what Raymond said, which was a journalist, a purveyor of truth, a historian, to moving over to just giving their opinions. And most of them are from the left. They've been educated in leftist schools. And, you know, it's just sort of an insular community in the mainstream media. I know that we at Point of View, we try to be to report news to you in certain situations, and we jump off of news reports and provide news reports and comment on them. But we make no bones about the fact that we are coming from a Christian conservative worldview. That's where we're coming from. Now, I will say that, you know, I think that the Christian conservative worldview tries very hard to protect and tell the truth. And that's why Point of View is so important, and that's why we're glad you're listening, and we hope you'll participate by giving today on Giving Tuesday. You can do it by going to pointofview.net. We've got another segment. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the First Liberty Briefing. I'm Jeremy Dice. Elaine Spaziano organized Christmas on the Canal for 17 years. It became a tradition for most of the residents of Spencerport, New York. But like every good Christmas story, there was a Grinch. An atheist complained to city officials about the annual celebration because it included carols, tree lighting, a nativity scene, and other festivities. In response, the town told Elaine to remove religious references and to secularize the event by changing Christmas to holiday and getting rid of such displays as the nativity scene. Elaine refused, and the town pulled its sponsorship, seemingly ending the annual tradition. But not unlike the Who's Down in Whoville, the community rose up in support of the event and provided the necessary funding to continue the annual celebration. Christmas on the Canal continues to this day, though I don't know if the town sponsors it. Cities across the country need to understand that the law allows your town to sponsor such displays so long as the displays contain the right mixture of the sacred and the secular. Or, as the Supreme Court has said, city-sponsored Christmas displays are permissible under the Constitution so long as there is no endorsement of religious faith and the display is, as the court noted, simply a recognition of cultural diversity. So this Christmas, don't let your town be a Scrooge. It's okay to celebrate Christmas on the town square. To learn how First Liberty is protecting religious liberty for all Americans, visit firstliberty.org.
Now, back to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Welcome back to Point of View. We are taking your calls, 800-351-1212, on this Giving Tuesday. Let's go to Richard in Illinois. Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. I'm calling in regard to President-elect Trump's his presumptive decision not to pursue Hillary Clinton on email. Now, I would be the last person to defend any of her actions or what she did on the emails, but there are a lot of things that President-elect Trump needs to accomplish. And the first and foremost, I mean, I'll tell you frankly, I'm not still not terribly enthused about him, but I voted for him for the most important reason, the Supreme Court justice. So if the President-elect goes after Hillary on this, even though he has a Republican majority in the Senate, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the Democrats still have enough people to filibuster a Supreme Court nomination. And so if you get into some big battle with the Democrats over Hillary, then I think that you would endanger your chances of putting in some really solid conservative Supreme Court justices, which I think is a whole lot better. More important than Hillary paying her dues. She will pay her dues eventually before the greatest judge of all. And I am much less concerned about that issue than what he can accomplish, particularly in regards to the Supreme Court justice.
So are you kind of saying don't make the Democrats mad so they'll vote for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee?
No, I'm saying don't get into a unnecessary battle with the Democrats at the very beginning of your administration when you would normally expect them to cut you some slack in letting you appoint the Supreme Court justices that you like. But if you remember Robert Bork,
sure,
he was an eminently qualified Supreme Court justice that got got killed, and I believe that was the filibuster that did it. Maybe I'm incorrect, but I think it was.
Yeah, okay, I get it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you say. I do think that, you know, what Judicial Watch is doing, I think the United States Justice Department should still continue investigating. But to have a high-profile situation where the administration is going after Hillary, especially right at the beginning, is just, it would be a bad idea. And I think that was the message that Donald Trump was sending without being definitive that he would never prosecute her for something that was blatantly illegal and detrimental to the interests of the nation. So get on with it, is what you're saying, right? Get on with your agenda. One of the most important things being nominating somebody great for the court and getting them confirmed, reversing some of these regulations that President Obama has put in place. You can quickly reverse and getting Congress moving on things. And so, you know, those are the things that we should be focused on, and that the administration should be making its statements about. Am I correctly assessing you? I think he's gone. I hope I've correctly assessed that. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Richard. Let's go now to Lance in Texas, listening in on KBJS. Hi, Lance. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was just calling, following up on the guy that mentioned about the lying media. What I've done is I don't have cable TV. I don't have TV at all. And instead of writing a check to a cable company, I just give the point of view because y'all are putting out a Christian message and telling the truth. And I think more more Christians need to take a stand with their pocketbook. And I also follow the second vote thing. That's a little more difficult. Y'all had a show on that. But if you look at all that, it's really hard really to buy stuff. But if you work on the internet and you can find places that are not propagating abortion and other things. So
it takes some effort, doesn't it? It takes some effort.
It does. It's work. It's hard, but it's good. And you find, you know, other places that sell stuff that are Christian, a lot of places. So I would, if y'all could also be helpful to us to do that, maybe have a show that has alternative companies, because I don't go to Walmart, I don't go to Lowe's, and these are places that I used to go to. They're pro-abortion, so I have to reach out and...
Yes, and I've had to boycott Target, which has been difficult since it's sort of convenient to me, but I've been successfully staying away from that store, too.
Yeah, so if y'all could put together a show that actually had alternatives to all these big box, like Best Buy, you know, they're the same way. I mean, these companies are very anti-Christian, and they don't believe in the same values that Christians do. So, but you can find places. It just takes a little bit of time. Amazon's another one. I mean, there's just a lot of places that you can't shop if you really, you know, these people are pro-abortion. So, anyway, that would be helpful if y'all did a show that would have alternatives.
Yeah, we'll have to see what we can do legally, because we're nonprofit, and so in order to, you know, promote that someone frequent a certain establishment might go beyond our legal standing, but let's look into it. We will look into that suggestion, see how we could do that within the law and by way of informing people.
Okay, well, God bless y'all. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Lance. We appreciate your call. And one more quick call from Jim in North Carolina, listening on GNN. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great.
Thank you for taking the call, and thanks for what you do.
Okay, I just need a real quick comment here.
One quick point. Donald Trump is not president yet. And a lot of the reason he may not be pursuing Hillary so bad is because he is still president-elect. And I think people need to remember that before they go jumping overboard.
Hmm. Interesting.
All right, y'all have a blessed day.
Yeah, you too. I guess so we could, like, unpack that if we had more time, but we're coming up on the end of the show. And I just want to, well, first of all, thank you so much to Lance, who called in and said that he is taking the money that he would spend on cable. He doesn't have cable, and he makes a gift to Point of View instead, which is a great use of money. Thank you for that great idea. And, you know, the reason that people are calling in with these wonderful ideas is because we've been talking a lot today about Giving Tuesday. Today is Giving Tuesday, and certainly you're getting some worthy groups asking for gifts today. So the question I'm asking is, where does Point of View fall on your list of groups that help you to follow Christ in our culture? And also, the other question I could ask you to think about and ponder is, why not be part of Point of View's ministry with a gift today? This gift today will be matched up to $10,000 if we receive it by midnight tonight. So it's effectively doubling your gift. And I saw in something I was reading that Ted Cruz, who certainly a senator from Texas, and he was battling with Mr. Trump for the nomination, and he said that Donald Trump is assembling an impressive, serious team to help him govern the country. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that it is not going to happen or happen well without the involvement of serious and informed citizens. And that's where you come in, as you support Point of View, because that's what we try to do every day. So if Point of View is important for you, why not help us? We can restore biblically informed values to our culture, and we're trying to do that every day. We're grateful that you've listened, and we would be very grateful for your gift to Point of View today on Giving Tuesday. And again, you can do that by going to pointofview.net. There's a big red donate button there. And you could also give us a call at 800-347-5151, give via credit card. We also have a street address where you could just send a check. It's actually a post office box. And that is P.O. Box 30, Dallas, Texas. 75, well, Bob Allen will give you the zip code. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening today. Catherine, thank you so much for pulling everything together. Andrew, thank you. And Rob, thank you today for working the website and getting that up there for everyone to use. Again, I want to send you to pointofview.net. All of our articles are up there. The City Journal article about Cuba is a must read. Try to read that for your homework assignment. But your other assignment is have a great evening.
The holidays are a time for giving, and I hope you thought of many ways to honor Jesus' birthday this year. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day to invest in things that matter. Many retailers have two-for-one specials and buy one, get one, BOGO. We invite you to step up and do it. D-O-E-T. That means donate one equals two. You donate $1 to Point of View Radio, and through a special deal with one of our friends, your dollar becomes two, up to $10,000. Your $20 becomes 40. Your 50 becomes 100. Your 1,000 becomes 2,000. Just do it. Donate one, which equals two, before the clock strikes 12 tonight. Click the banner, please, at pointofview.net or call 800-347-5151 or mail your donation today to Point of View, Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Please do it now. Pointofview.net and 800-347-5151. Thank you.
Point of View is produced by Point of View Ministries.